Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would this morning direct your attention to some selected verses out of Psalm 69. Psalm 69, as you may know, is perhaps one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament, and we will make due reference along the way. I can't imagine that there's many of you here this morning who are not aware of the fact that this is the end of the eighth week. And I would guess that as I read some of these verses in the 69th Psalm, you may identify with them in some rather strange ways. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Do many of you feel that you're up to your neck right now? Or maybe that you're in over your head, as the saying goes? It's rather common about the end of the eighth week. Reading assignments that you had very good intentions about, and you've seen them accumulate, almost to the point where you have agreed that you're going to be selective. You are aware that finals are, in some cases, less than 2 weeks away. You have unfinished papers, either because they still are due or they are past due. And with all of this, family life goes on, with all that that means when you have children at home and a wife at home perhaps, and how that interfaces with going to class and preparing. And we profs and staff people aren't immune to this, are we? I would dare say those of us who are here this morning feel that we're in kind of up to our neck too. Our plans were to cover all those topics. Now we only have 2 weeks to go. And so that also begins to slip away on us. And staff people, you have also had such great plans. And we're 8 weeks deep already. And so we tend at this time of the quarter, and others as well, to become overwhelmed. And at least the imagery of the psalm seems quite relevant. But that isn't all. There are other adversaries out there that would like to get at us. There are those things called finances, which are not always very far from us, and what that means and how they weigh heavy on us. There is immediate and extended family concerns. Things don't always go well. There's grandma and grandpa, and there's mom and dad, and things aren't there, or there are siblings, and all of that tends to flood in on us as well with its tensions. There are employment concerns, hopefully not for profs and staff, by the way, but there are employment concerns for students and wives and so forth. Transportation problems, old cars that I see out in the parking lot, and I'm sure some of you are wondering what kind of winter exactly this will be, and how many times you may have to call the dean's office and say, it didn't start this morning. And there are deaths that occur in families every year, near and far from our extended family here, and illness, and doubts, and anxieties of various kinds invade our thoughts. And the imagery is not lost upon us, for the waters have come up to my neck, and I sink in deep mire, and there's no standing. I feel things slipping out from under my feet. And then we take cognizance of the real attack. We hear in this chapel, and we hear in our devotions, and we hear in church on Sunday, God's holy law. And it reflects back to us images that shock us. At least they ought to shock us. For with Paul, do we not so often have to exclaim that those good intentions that we have, to do or not to do, result in thoughts and words and actions that are not pleasing to God? And Satan knows when we are at our most vulnerable. And he doesn't hesitate to parade past sins also before us. Sins that have long been forgiven and forgotten by God, but raising new questions in us of guilt and accusation, and yes, even worthiness. And when we are down, our very faith comes under attack. But our Lord Jesus himself took a part of Psalm 69 and applied it very uniquely to himself, even with the words, that your law may be fulfilled. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. They hated him without reason. And to whom better might the words apply that I am forced to restore what I did not steal? The perfect Son of God pays for, redeems every sin that was owed. And so indeed we can further pray with the psalmist, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Coming back to the imagery, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood waters overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. After all, even in the eighth week of a quarter, Good Friday and Easter and Pentecost are still very much alive for us. And so indeed we praise God for his deliverance, that we bask in the sunshine. Part of our versicles this morning was Romans 6. We have been baptized. The old has been drowned. The new has come forth, and we live in the light of the new. The last words of this psalm reads, "Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it." My dear Christian friends, that part of the prophecy has been fulfilled in us. The new Israel, the church of the New Testament, that's where we live, and that's where we reside. We are built on the rock of ages, not on the slime and the mire that gives us false footing. And indeed, the final completion of this will be in that church triumphant, where all of us have citizenship and the homeland to which we travel. And so, my dear friends, eighth week, I don't want to say so what. We have props here who would climb all over me if I said so what. But even eighth week problems of readings and tests and finals and being behind do pale in comparison of what our Lord and Savior has done for us. And that the sin and the weakness that may be represented there, he took upon himself as he went to the cross. Those words ought to ring in our ears. Even though he stole nothing, he paid back every bit. And he paid it for you and for me. And may this therefore be a joyful last 2 weeks of the quarter for us and beyond, as we bask in Easter and Pentecost sunlight. In the name of our triune God, amen.